Feed Your Mind and Change Your Life with June and Lenny Lane in association with O Books.
Hey, this is June and Lenny Lane on My Spirit Radio. Welcome back to another show. Today I'm very excited to introduce you to Tom Evans. Tom is a 21st century Renaissance man. He's an author, poet, musician, author's mentor, and e-publishing specialist. He's also a healer, hypnotherapist, and karmic guide. He has a degree in electronic engineering, and his first career was in broadcast and internet technology. It's perhaps no surprise then that he has published many Kindle books and also built several iPhone apps. In Tom's writing, he specialises in adding clarity to spirituality by explaining the seeming mystery in a simple and scientific manner. So, let's talk to this wizard of light bulb moments. Hi Tom, welcome on to the show. It's nice to have you here.
And hello to you. Great to be here.
I was very excited when I got hold of your book because I can see lots of parallels between the work that you and I both do, which is always, you know, very exciting to know that we're reading from the same matrix, as it were.
Absolutely, and just playing it out in slightly different ways and different formats for different people, I hope.
Well, yeah, quite. Yeah, exactly that. The Art and Science of Lightbulb Moments. What can I say? What a great title.
Thank you. I thought of doing a shorter version of it, like Aha, but this kept coming back to me. And as you've probably seen, there's two halves of the book. And really, the main point I wanted to get over was that you can have, it's quite easy to have lightbulb moments. But one of the best things that we should all do is to learn how to make them happen, which is why the science bit comes in.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the first thing, I guess the logical thing to explain to the listeners is, how do you actually describe a light bulb moment? What is that to you?
Well, it's a great question. I suppose it differs from any other old thought or any other idea in the quality of the insight you get. They tend to come in less than a second. They tend to come in fully formed, so you get the whole picture in outside space and time. You get very excited. Your heart warms. Your gut sort of tells you you're onto something. You can feel it in your water. If you have them in the middle of the night, you've got to get up and write them down.
And
they're world changing. You know, they change the world.
Yeah, they do. The Greeks call it, I think it's Eureka, an Eureka moment.
That's it, yeah, absolutely.
Or Eureka, yeah, absolutely. And of course, the thing about these, in terms of most people, is that they tend to come in very sporadically, nearly always out of your control, and probably at times when you're least expecting them.
Yeah, they come across the grain of thought. Actually, I found out recently that a lot of people seem to experience them next to the water. So you're near a waterfall or in the shower. And I think that's probably related to the water element, which is the conductor of the collective thought field.
Wow, that would be very much the case. You know, I mean, a lot of intuitives work a lot with water as well. And let's face it, our body is kind of the majority of it is water in any case, isn't it? So we're living receivers for energy.
Yeah, I think that our memory sort of comes in, is in our water, in our cellular. Our cellular memory sits there. It's a receiver and transmitter of our thoughts. So it's natural that when we're near water, then those sort of thoughts tend to leak into us more.
Yeah, and I think that all comes through the right side of the brain, the intuitive side, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
You're thinking absolutely exactly the same. Right, well, thinking that these moments come in, next logical question is, what do you think blocks them? What do you think is the creative block that all these artists and musicians and people of creative means talk about?
Well, I think there are seven main ways that you can block a light bulb moment. Whoa. And these ways seem to center around our seven main chakra points.
Right.
So if we start, let's say, at our root chakra, let's say you're under threat. then it's hardly a time to have a light bulb moment. When you move up to the sacral chakra, if you're in need, either financial need or you're hungry or thirsty, again, you're not going to be in the best mode to have a light bulb moment. And then if you're fearful, so if you're blocking something in your gut, you know, you might be afraid of being ridiculed or something, you can block a light bulb moment. And then if you move up to our heart center, if you're not valued at work, so you're not being loved or you're not loved in a relationship, again, that can block light bulb moments. And then we get slightly more subtle because we move up to the sort of conscious chakra centers. If you're talking on the very point that you're talking, and bearing in mind we only talk on an out-breath, we don't get light bulb moments when we're actually speaking. You only get them when you stop speaking and on the in-breath. And then as you move up to your third eye, if you are thinking, so if you're in internal dialogue, running that internal commentary where your monkey mind is active, again, that can block light bulb moments. And then we go straight to the crown chakra. If you're blocking the connection to the superconsciousness, either through some, some skepticism or some ego, then you're going to block the root of the light bulb moment coming in. So there's kind of seven main ways that you can block them.
Okay. Well, as you've touched on ego, one of my questions was, let's talk about ego as such. And would you say something about your views on what ego is, in fact?
Well, ego is really important. And ego is not a bad thing. It's just come to have a bad connotation in modern culture. And you know, someone's got ego the size of the planet. But ego itself is just having that sense of separateness. But when you get a light bulb moment, there's two elements to it where you need your this ego, which is the ego the size of the planet, to abate. First is that this idea as it's come in is not yours. Most thoughts aren't our own. It's more like you've been lent the idea and you're the receiver of the idea. And then most importantly, it's yours to share and also to capitalise on from a commercial perspective. It doesn't mean about giving things away just freely, but the idea is you've been given this as a gift for your own evolution and enlightenment, but also then it's important that you share it. And the best way to share it is to have, if you like, not a suppressed ego, but a controlled ego, so that you realise that your idea then can be shared with others. Other people can get involved with it and add their own light bulb moments to it as well. And one of the things about light bulb moments which can happen, especially inside businesses, the person that has the original idea can tend to not let other people get in on the act. And what you really want to do is get everybody to have light bulb moments around the original light bulb moment to really make it fly.
So we're really talking cooperation, which of course the ego is not necessarily good at, is it?
For sure, collaboration. Again, that's fear. That's maybe fear that people will think maybe it's a bad idea or that you're a bit stupid or, you know, you think it's wonderful, but no one else thinks it's wonderful. So some of those base emotions come in, which again goes back to where all the blocks come in, you know, so they come into the various chakra points.
So with regard to ego, it really doesn't matter what size it is, as long as you've got a handle on it. It can be as big as a planet, but if as long as it's working for you, this is a good thing. But if it's as tiny as a pea and it's controlling you, then this is not so good, right?
Exactly. It's about being in balance and actually realizing that although we're all separate, we've all got our own individuality, we've all got our own karmic mission. We've all come here to perform a function, to learn and to grow. And even though we're all one and we're all sharing the same consensual dream.
Yeah, absolutely. But we're all sharing it in our own individual way, aren't we? And adding to it.
Yeah, adding and contributing, that's really important. Yeah, and this is where, if you like, science is just getting to grips with all of this. It's actually realising that, it's consciousness that creates reality, not what we know as material 3D reality creating consciousness. So we only have to have a thought. We only have to have one of these light bulb moments and we can create amazing new things and we can go in new directions, completely new directions, as people have down the ages, you know, like Da Vinci, Newton, Einstein and the like.
Oh, yes, absolutely. He's one of my favourites, Leonardo da Vinci. I'm sure that he was connected with his future self. It's been quite an extraordinary journey that's been happening recently with this idea of going backwards and forwards into the future, and that the future and the past and the present is all in the same moment.
Yeah, it's quite amazing, isn't it? I mean, Da Vinci, you know those little drawings of helicopters that he did?
Well, quite.
And he, you know that word prescience?
Yes.
If you hyphenate a word, you can get additional illumination into it. So if you hyphenate that to pre-science.
Pre-science,
he was seeing the future, and he had the prescience to invent the parachute as well as the helicopter, just in case the helicopter failed.
And diving equipment in case you were in the sea.
Yeah, you know, and oddly enough, I got into all this when I started writing. I started writing a novel about 4 years ago, which I'm going to complete this year. And I wanted Mars and the Earth to be on opposite sides of the sun 150 years from now. And I had a book writing coach, and she said, I'll put a neon date in the first draft and make a note on the side to correct it later. And the date that I picked at random for Mars and Earth was exactly the date where I wanted them to be. And this is what got me down this research line that actually culminated in the light bulb moment book.
Oh, the mysteries of a light bulb moment. Wow. That must have made you tingle when you found that out.
Yeah, it did. And then, but as an engineer, I started to research the mechanisms whereby this sort of thing happened. And I went on all sorts of courses. And I went on these courses so I could practice as a result of being on the courses. So I went on a past life regression course, for example. And I didn't intend to be a past life progressor, but I use it quite a lot now in my work. And I use future life progression as well. And one of the tricks which I teach authors that I work with is actually to connect with your future self, who knows the words you haven't written yet, and get them sent back to the present.
Oh, and another amazing parallel. That's extraordinary, because I do it with art.
There you go. It's exactly the same thing, isn't it?
Well,
and the weirdest thing that happened was that when I started working with people, I would actually start to see their past lives and future lives in their auras, and the present person would disappear. And I thought I was going a bit mad at the time, but since then I've met loads of people that do this too.
Oh, yeah. Cool. It's very exciting, very exciting. But of course, the thing that kind of fuels my fire on this is the idea that anything then is possible. So why would people be stuck in a mindset of scarcity when we could just expand and know that everything's possible? I mean, I noticed in your book, you say you want to get the mind to the state that not only is it in credit, but let the credit be increasing. Why do you think people don't get that? Why do they not get that? Why can't we put that across in a way that people believe it?
Yeah, it's a good one, isn't it? Because I very rarely go to the doctors, and I don't think I spend one night in hospital all my life. And when I do a lot of what you might call remedial work with people, where you might be helping out with past traumas and that sort of thing. But I like the idea that we can be well and get even weller.
Yeah.
And we can be okay, but get to be magnificent. And actually, to be fair, I mean, I was in this state about 5 or 6 years ago when I was a board IT consultant. And someone I met said, you know what, you live in splendid mediocrity. And I think that was the catalyst that I thought, there's got to be something more than other than a very nice job. Really, really bored, having to commute and all this sort of thing. There's got to be more than life than this, and that's when I started writing. And actually, I started meditating first, and I think it was the meditation that started to bring everything else on.
Wow. Well, look, we've got to go to a break now, but when we come back, I'd very much like to look at the techniques that you've got for actually inducing these light bulb moments. So we'll be right back after the break.
Feed your mind and change your life. With June and Lenny Lane, in association with O Books.